Amen, amen, and amen. What indeed a privilege it is. I never want to take this lightly, the fact that we get a chance to get together and enjoy God's word and see what it is he's trying to say to each and every one of us. So welcome, everyone. My name is June Rogers, and again, I am just so delighted to be your fellow learner and teacher in this book of Galatians, and we're up to chapter 2. This morning when I was trying to get myself in the right frame of mind, I just like to share what I was, you know, the song and the music that I was listening to, and it was the song Nobody Greater, and I just have to say I sure miss Mother Cheryl and how she would sing that song, and I do believe one day soon I'll get a chance to hear her sing it again. And, you know, I was just thinking about songs in general. That song that was just playing, you know, there are praise songs and there are worship songs, and then there's those songs that we just kind of nestle up to God's feet, and I feel like they minister to us. But, you know, it's really still a worship song, because even when we're basking in the love of God, we're worshiping him and thanking him for what he's done for us. So let us start with a word of prayer. Lord God, we just thank you. We just love you. We appreciate the fact that you've given us this time together, and we just ask that you would help make sure that we get the most out of this time so that we get exactly what you want each of us to get individually and for the church to get collectively from chapter 2 of Galatians. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Okay, so last week, you know, I like to start out with a would you rather question. And last week's question involved whether you would want to be confined in a prison with real concrete walls that you could not see out of, or would you rather be confined somewhere where you could see out, but that every time you breach the barrier, just like the dogs do, you get that electric shock. I did get one person providing some feedback who said their preference would be to have the electronic fence where they could at least see around them even if they couldn't. And I tend to agree with this. Just being able to see the promised land might result in letting your mind travel easier than if the walls are there. Overall, though, we need to remember that most of the prisons we find ourselves in are self-imposed. And even if you find yourself in a real prison, feel free, because that is the gift we have from God. Someone can imprison your body, but only you can imprison your mind. When you get a moment, check out Isaiah 50, chapter 52, which speaks a bit to self-imposed slavery. Okay, so for today's would you rather question, here we go. Would you rather someone tell you where to live or where to work? This would be unsolicited advice, by the way. But let's just say the person who has given this advice is influential in your life, someone whose advice you respect. So you're going to endure it. You're going to listen no matter how you feel. Oh, and while we're on that topic, how do you feel when someone tells you what to do or what you should do? Okay, reflect on this as we go into Galatians 2. But before we do that, I just want to take a few minutes to make some comments about Galatians 1 that I didn't get a chance to do last week. Here are some things that I think we could take away and a few questions to reflect on. Who appointed those you consider to be spiritual leaders? Who appointed you? Was it really the Lord? How do you know? I think what Paul is trying to get anyone who reads the letter to see and understand is that you will know them by the Spirit. Have we not been instructed in 1 John 4 to test the Spirit? Starting at verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." As you read along in Galatians, you will see that all roads and points that Paul makes are to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not boasting on himself. He is not saying that he is self-appointed. He points you in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing on in 1 John 4,
This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Remember I said the idea is how to be doers of the word. You got to pay attention. You got to reason and use logic to figure things out. You got to confront yourself and others. You got to have faith that when you've done everything that needs to be done, what we just talked about, God will do his part. And then we have to wait on God, not jumping the gun, trying to make something happen. I kind of reduced this a little further in my studies to a slogan you may be familiar with about curtailing danger in our world. That is, if you see something, say something, and then do something. Okay, so let's read Galatians 2, starting at verse 1. Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of a church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Okay, let's stop here for a minute. Felt alone when you were supposed to be part of a group? Seems like this is how Paul felt. He says he did not want his efforts to be in vain. He wanted to be in agreement. He sought support and got it. When people are doing right, we should support them. Notice in verse 3, circumcision gets brought up. The thing we have to remember, though, during these times, circumcision was nothing that was a small thing. If you were not circumcised under the law, you were an outcast, not just to man, but to God. Remember when God confronted Moses and was about to kill him and his wife Zipporah saved him by circumcising their son? It was just that important. It would be like in our day someone professing to be a Christian, but this the main thing that demonstrates to God and man that we are believers. Something like saying that you believe but refusing to declare your belief publicly or even refusing to be baptized. So I get that circumcising was so entrenched in their history and culture and religion that it was such a habit that some were just reluctant to let go of it. But Christ was clear that it's not the things we do outwardly that matter. Rather, it is the condition of one's heart. We would all do well to remember this too. Just as they did not demand that Titus be circumcised, thus chaining a Gentile to the law, we should not drag people to anything. To me, I liken this whole process of enslaving, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's read verses 4 and 5. Even that question came up only because of some so-called believers there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. Okay, so I was about to talk about enslavement. So Paul was kind of dramatic saying these fake Christians were trying to enslave, or was he? Let's look at the concept of enslavement in this context. These Judaizers wanted them to bow, to submit, to do what they wanted, and reject one's own will. Now, that's bad. That's enslavement. But even worse, they wanted them to reject the will of God by not accepting the teaching of Jesus. So, yes, they clearly needed to be called out on that. Remember we spoke last week about the necessity. Again, and we brought it up this morning, you see something, you got to say something, that is confronted, and then you got to do something. You just need to stop short of doing anything beyond what God ordered you to do. So we want to do nothing more and nothing less. But do what you have to do, which is first and foremost, know the word of God and to listen. So in order to do any of that, we got to know the word. So Paul is on it, and we need to be on it. Look at how he says this enslaving process went down. The fake Christians spied on them in secret. When people are doing this, they're searching for weakness. All day long, even while we're sleeping, Satan has demons watching and studying us, looking for a weakness. And know that you're not just being studied passively. You're being examined so closely that your weaknesses can be exploited. One of the things that Satan is so good at, that's so annoying, is his ability to wrap lies inside of a truth. We saw in chapter 1 how he wrapped the truth of Paul previously being a persecutor of the church in the lie that Paul was not a real apostle. And we see the Judaizers wanting to enslave new Gentile Christians in the traditions of Judaism. But how did they do this? It's not like they were handcuffing them or pulling out a knife. They used the same lame but cunning way that Satan does today, by guilt-tripping them. I know all of you have been there, whether you were guilt-tripping someone else or they were guilt-tripping you. One way to know that that is happening is when a sentence is started with, you should. It is almost always a judgment. God uses very precise language. He says, do and do not. God says, I will. God says, you must. I love how we don't encounter tentative words like maybe in the Bible. We always know where we stand with God. Jesus could have said, follow the law and then do all of these other things. Instead, he said, love each other and love God. He clearly said all the law hangs on the two new commandments that he gave. So back to should. I did investigate it, and it seems that the few times this term appears in the Bible, it's a matter of language interpretation. For example, we're all familiar with Proverbs 22:6 about how we are to raise our children. In the New King James Version, it reads, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This scripture is stating the fact that there is a correct way that a child is to be reared if you wish them to know the right way and turn out okay. Now, in the Living Translation, that same scripture reads, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. See any difference? Hopefully, you don't see a difference, because to me, they are essentially saying the same thing. It is a declaration of the truth. It is among the wisdom we can find throughout the book of Proverbs. So here's the thing we can take away in our brief discussion about the word should. It is not taboo, but rather, how are you using it? Are you giving advice that is sound from God, such as you should raise your child according to what is right? Or are you giving legalistic advice contrary to the word of God, like you should always make sure when you send your daughter to church that she's wearing a dressy dress? And when asked why, the answer is that, well, we have a really nice church building, and we want all the trappings so when visitors come, they can see how good everything looks. That's guilt tripping. So the next time you hear the word should, think or ask why. If the answer is fact and scripturally based, so be it. But if the answer is because the speaker alone thinks it's a good idea, give it some more thought. Or more importantly, pray about it, because we should not imprison others in our, what I'm calling, little should prisons. Remember, our quest in studying this book is to figure out how to live our lives with the goals of the three freedoms: free from the law, free from sin, and free to worship and serve God. So here's a tip from the scripture study thus far. Get rid of guilt tripping. Know what guilt tripping looks like, and don't guilt trip anyone, and don't let anyone guilt trip you. Okay, let's keep reading, starting at verse 6. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. Let me pause for just a moment and highlight that point in verse 6 about God not having favorites. This should give us comfort in that he loves you just as much as he loves everyone else. So there is never a reason to feel slighted. But at the same time, we need to not get puffed up thinking we're better than anyone else, because God has no favorites. Verse 9. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift of God, the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Wow. Let's take in that scene. Everything was going good. Paul had his orders from God, and he was carrying them out with the approval of many of the other apostles. The way Paul describes his relationship with the others is not that he put them on a pedestal, nor did he degrade their calling to witness to the Jews while he was to witness to the Gentiles. To me, he's describing a form of respect for them. So again, everything seems to be going along just fine, and then Peter did something that could not be ignored. Remember, see something, say something, then do something. So Paul saw Peter engage in an extreme act of hypocrisy. Paul said when Peter first arrived in Antioch, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. Oh my goodness, why would Peter do such a thing? When I read this, I wondered if this had occurred before or after God had straightened Peter out in a vision about eating certain foods according to Jewish traditions as recorded in Acts 10. I did check and read some of what the theologians have written, and it seemed to be unclear to them also. I know Pastor O is very much into Christian history, so I would love for him to weigh in on this at some point. Anyways, while I'm not sure if God had already pulled Peter up about the food issue when this new incident went down, I think Peter had enough lessons that he should have known better. And I guess by his actions, it is clear that he knew better, because at first he did eat with them. But what changed? What changed was his audience. That is the friends of James. They would see him. It says in verse 12 that Peter was afraid of the criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Wow. Really, Peter? Note to self. If an apostle can blow it, so can we. And this comes down to what we call today peer pressure. They could have called it pressure on Peter. And we know that Peter had a problem with peer pressure. Consider how he behaved in his denial of Christ. He was concerned about how people who were questioning him saw him. His denial of Christ was essentially turning from the truth, and he did so with full knowledge of the truth. Such behavior must be confronted. Why? Because we can take people down with us, especially if we're viewed as leaders. Verse 13 says this was the very result of Peter's hypocrisy. Other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. I get annoyed whenever I am around women who make declarations about the need to wear a dress or hat to church. Not because I don't like wearing dresses sometimes. Well, I really don't like wearing those hats, though. But I get irritated because it's judgmental. It was a tradition to get dressed up to go to church long ago. And I'm not saying you should pick the worst thing you can find to go to church. I'm saying it doesn't matter. You could literally be coming off the job and not had a chance to shower. What is important is that you show up, that you feel free to show up. But are people going to feel free to come and worship God as they are if we're sitting there with our noses in the air looking down on them? I'm seeing some things that people wear that I would never wear. So what? With some of my weird tastes like blue hair, I am sure there are things I wear that no one else wants to embrace. We must start seeing past these shells the way that God sees us. We are not taking care of each other or being good representatives of Christ when we add any conditions to his message of salvation. It is not believe in Jesus plus eat this thing, or believe in Jesus plus wear these types of clothes, or believe in Jesus plus get circumcised. When these things come up, we cannot ignore them. Paul sure didn't. He really read Peter and called him out. In verses 15 to 21, Paul was on it. He reasoned with Peter. Mostly getting him to see, as he says in verse 21, that we cannot treat the grace of God as meaningless. When we throw all these roadblocks into people's lives, it's like his grace doesn't count. This basically reduces our belief to that of pagans who believe they have to earn their way into heaven. We cannot do this. God's grace is displayed by sending his son to die for our sins. It's the best gift ever. He has simply asked us to tell people and show through our lives that he freely has given us this grace. It's like he's wrapped this beautiful gift that he wants us to help pass out. And we go inside the box and add in some garbage because we think we know better than God. And that's what we hand out. Some Christians, not y'all listening, those Judaizer types, are doing a bait and switch. God cannot be pleased with that. We freely take the good stuff that is grace for ourselves, but then we want to pass out something different to others. That is hypocrisy. I don't know. I was chuckling when I was thinking about this. You know how when we want to take out the black jelly beans and get them to other people and eat all the colorful ones because they taste different? But we can't do that kind of stuff. Don't let peer pressure get you into a mindset that you actually believe you are goody two-shoes enough to be able to keep the law. That old system has been torn down so we can really live for God. Let's get that in our spirits. For when we do, that's how we become free to serve him with all of our mind, spirit, soul, and strength. Okay, so let's talk about homework, the real fun part. I know. When we hear that word homework, it's probably from like our days in school. It seems like drudgery, but really it's your payday. It's the payoff for studying God's word. Think of this class like you went shopping and put some cool stuff in your cart, or as we say in Detroit, your buggy. But as for what you actually leave a store with, the treasure that stays with you forever is what you hide in your heart, that which you meditate on day and night. By reflection, I'm just giving you a little treasure map that you can use mentally to bring it to your consciousness in a context that uniquely makes sense to you. Okay? So here we go. Your reflection. We spoke about the shoulds that people and the add-ons, the pluses, if you will, with respect to salvation. These things restrict freedom from the law, from sin, and from worshiping God. This week, please think about math. Here's a little math problem. I want you to consider what you have added as a plus or should in front of salvation. A good way to think about this is to finish this sentence. I don't think a person who does blank, and you fill in the blank, is really saved. I actually hope you're one of the rare individuals who does not have a plus. If you don't have anything for the blank, reflect about someone who may have tried to put you in a box and declare that they thought you weren't saved because of something that you were doing, like how you were dressing, something along those lines. Now, if you figure out this little math problem of at least one plus, then I want you to do some subtraction. Work on that. Think about how you can make it go away. All right, so that's it for today. I'm praying that God will bless each and every one of you. And I guess it looks like I might have 1 minute, so why don't we just end on a word of prayer before I hand it over to Kathy. Lord, I just thank you for this time we had together. I thank you for the seeds that you have planted, and I thank you for the increase. Your word never comes back to you void, and so we just thank you for the time we've had together and this word that you have given us, this love letter that you've written us, this long, long love letter that we call the Bible, and these specific books that we're looking at in Galatians. We just thank you for it, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, for that inspiring lesson. You know, just love and treat others with love. That's my motto.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a good lesson, and you know, we cannot wait to hear more.
All right.
Yes, thank you. Have the best day ever.
You too.
Okay. All right. Oh, wait, well, we got a few more minutes. So, Sister Rogers, Deaconess Rogers, did you leave us? Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
We got another minute. Can you go over that homework lesson real quick again?
No problem. So, if you remember when I was going over just chapter 2, we saw that situation, you know, with Peter and how he was behaving. And we saw that, you know, even though he knew that the Gentiles didn't need to be circumcised, you know, he didn't want to eat with the Gentiles because he was concerned about what people would think. And so we have all of these shoulds, you know, you should do this, you should do that. Mm. And they don't have anything to do with the word of God. It's just what we think. And it really, to me, I just think we do so much damage when we start to look someone up and down and say, I don't believe they're saved because, you know, they go to the casino or they wear low-cut clothes or they wear high-heel shoes. Look, sin, that's God's territory. That's between them mm-hmm. and God. We don't yeah. get to tell someone that they're not saved and add conditions to the word of God. So that's the thing, is to just examine, is there anything in my life that I'm being judgmental about mm-hmm. when it comes to other believers, especially new believers, because we don't want to cause them to stumble. Like what we're seeing, the whole need for this letter that Paul is sending is because believers are getting in the way of other believers by adding their own conditions to salvation.
Wow, wrap that up in a beautiful package in a bow. Love it. Okay,
so we don't think
well, thank
about
you
it all
so
week
much.
Long.
Yeah, that's something good to think about. You know, it really is. So I think they got it.
All right.
You be moving fast. So, yeah, I think they have, and they're going to be ready for you next week.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Best day ever.
You too.
Okay. All right. Hey, get you some coffee. We're going to have a song, and then after this song, we'll see you on the other side, okay, with our service.
Amen. Just before we jump into that song, I was excited about last week's question. I just forgot to answer it. I would rather have the wire because if I get to go to the wire, then I'll avoid becoming a monastic. In other words, there was a certain time in Christianity that people sought to get away from everybody so they could be alone with God and just figure him all the way out. But then if you do that, then nobody's out there talking to people. So I figured if I go to the wire, it's other people who can go to the wire with me, and then I can talk to those people about God and still seek out solace time and get both things done. I'm going to send an email about whether I would rather be told where to live or where to work. Well, I guess you could tell what I've been doing. Amen. Amen. God bless. We'll see y'all after this song.
to the highest mountain. Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody, nobody great, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and my hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Nobody greater, body greater, Jesus. Nobody greater than you. Search all over.
Search all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low.
Lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find
nobody.
Nobody
greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you, Lord. My thing, you woke us up this morning, you know, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries. Saturday morning worship service, sorry. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministry, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, and good morning to everyone. As she said, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm here to bring you the morning scripture and prayer. And it's coming from Colossians 3, 1 through 15. It is titled, Living the New Life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all its glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world. But now, in this time, it's time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself in the tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again, offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, fellowship. We ask that you fill it with your Holy Spirit, everyone who takes part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs and prayers and the preach word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Loretta. We appreciate you and have a great day.
Oh, honey, you do the same.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
I don't know about you, but I could use another hour of that song right there. Amen. It just does something to me. It just makes me really reach out for the Lord and want him to have his way in me on earth. You know, church, this is the only time that we get to spend with God on earth. One day he's going to call us home from this service that we're providing for him, that he's allowed us, this thing he has allowed us to do, whatever that thing is the Lord has you doing. Amen. And we also want to get the most of God that we can in us in this life. We know Jesus is working on us, and we know he's going to, amen, carry it out to completion. But we want him, amen, to just do as much in us as possible. Amen. Amen. Let's worship, y'all.
Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. You, yes. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord, say. I will trust in you. Y'all help me. The Lord is my light. Everybody sing.
Think about the situation, the circumstance that you're facing. have just came out of, in, or going into, I will remain confident in this. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord, because the Lord has told us that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, guess what? He's your way maker. I was hanging out on Facebook the other day, and I happened to see I had a message from Deaconess June Rogers, so I checked the message out, and it was a song. And it was a man in a Target parking lot. And, man, I'm telling you, as soon as he started singing, I lost it. I just completely got into worship. I couldn't stop worshiping, and I had to find that song. And I went and found that song. It's sung by quite a few people, but I had to find the one the Lord wanted me to hear. And her name, I might be pronouncing it wrong, is called Sinac, S-I-N-A-C, Sinac, Sinac. I don't know what it is, but I know it's S-I-N-A-C, and the name of the song is Waymaker. Let's worship.
You're the I wish I knew you are here, meeting every need. I wish I knew you. I wish I knew you. Oh, devotion, day of my vacation.
Amen. That was a blessed song, Pastor. You wasn't the only one that lost it. When I heard it, she shared it with me also, and I had the same reaction. So, yes, sir, beautiful song. Thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to Pastor God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own shepherd and pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall, Pastor O, always on duty and ready to offer prayer and petition God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our shepherd and pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. Pastor O, pray to the Lord. Amen.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another second, another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hand to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. Doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the waves of trials that beat upon me. Not another minute.
Amen. Isn't it wonderful that our God and our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the way made? Amen. The way is already made, and God already knows the way, the path that he has set for each and every one of us to follow. There's no mystery, not to him, but to us. And we ought to see it as a great joy, a great discovering from moment to moment. You know, old folks simply said each round goes higher and higher. And what they meant was our relationship with him grows tighter and tighter. We become closer and closer. Running for Christ, I want you to know that every single day I pray for the Lord to draw you in closer to him until you just can't see anything but him. And everything that you look at through him. You got Jesus glasses on, and you start to see things God's way. Amen. Rather than what we think we see or what the devil is trying to make us think we see things God's way. Why? Because we wear Jesus' word glasses. Amen. We look right through the word at everything that we look at, and the word tells us what that thing is and how we should respond or how we should act. Amen. It is so wonderful being a child of God. And it's a wonderful thing that Jesus is the one that's working on us. Jesus is the one that's bringing us closer to him. And so we can confidently know that all things truly work together for the good of those who love the Lord our God and who have been called according to his purpose. Amen. Jesus said, when you pray, say. So let's say something to the Father. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks for this day, and we do praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the way is already made. You have set this day up so that everything that takes place in this day brings us closer to you. You are trying to reveal to us every single day our weaknesses, our areas where we have a lack of faith, where we have a lack of knowledge of your word. And that area of our life seems to be dead, Lord, but we know that you are resurrecting, God. Like you said, Jesus, at the tomb of Lazarus, you are the resurrection, a very present resurrection. So those things, Father, that are dead to us can have life. You can bring them to life in us. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father, for each day that you give us. And we thank you for your laser focus on turning us into who we're going to be forever. We thank you that you don't allow anything to transpire in our lives that won't aid that purpose, that won't help us to reach that goal. We, Heavenly Father, all read about Paul and how Paul made it his desire to lose the things that he once thought was so important, to gain the things that you were constantly showing him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. It gives us an example of the people who you call to yourself and how we get that 2020 hindsight. We get to see, we know how their lives are going to turn out, but we get to see them go from day to day, and we extract from that, we extrapolate from that, that you're doing the same thing with us. Abraham had no idea when he was down there in Ur of the Chaldeans, where they worshiped the moon and everything else they could think of as God, but he couldn't become satisfied with none of those things because you wouldn't let him. You knew, Father, that you needed a nation, and that nation was going to come from him who would produce the Christ that would save every soul on earth that turns to him. You said, Jesus, when you were here, as many as they brought to you, you healed them all. So, Father, we know way back then you were talking about bringing Jesus in. But Abraham, day by day, step by step, each one by faith, he knew where you told him to go. You said, I'm going to take you from here to there. Go this way. And then you said, turn left. And then you said, his walk was by faith. His walk was by your word. Your word guided him from Ur of the Chaldeans all the way over into the promised land. And when you got him there, he built an altar. And there you promised him that he would become the father of many nations, and that because of his faith, because of his wife's faith, the whole world would be blessed through him. And you were talking about Jesus. So Heavenly Father, we look at those lives and we know that we, even though the Bible's already written, even though the canons, the Old and New Testament, have been shut down, there'll be no more additions to the Bible, but we can still be those people. You showed me, Father, throughout Christian history, how you had many Abrahams, how you had many Davids, how you had those who served you always faithfully through all of that turmoil of those years. And here, Father, the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17 has come true. You said, I'm not just praying for those who are standing right here in my presence, but for all those who are going to believe on me according to their word. And Father, the word that they didn't even understand at the time that Jesus was praying that they would become writers of the New Testament. They had no idea. And even when they wrote, they had no idea that Athanasius, that North African bishop, would compile those documents into the 27 documents that we call the New Testament, Father. But you knew all of that. Oh, Jesus, how encouraged are we when we look at those lives and we look at our lives. Now our life makes sense. We know, Father, that you have a specific purpose, a specific job for us to do. And we know, Father, that your word will not return to you void, having not accomplished what you sent it out to do. So we will fulfill your will. Father, we thank you that you are not, as we learned from Deaconess June Rogers' Saturday school class, church school class, that you are not a respecter of persons. Even though Paul was highly educated and Peter was an ignorant fisherman, you made Peter apostle to the Jews and you made Paul apostle to the Gentiles, not based on Paul's education or Peter's lack thereof. But as Peter said to the man in chapter 3 of the book of Acts who was laying outside on Solomon's porch, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I do have, I give it to you. Paul had the same thing Peter had, and that is the Holy Spirit who was in them to do the will of God through them. And it is the same for us today. So, Father, we thank you that even before we were born, you thought about us. Even before we entered this world, you knew us. Just like you did Jeremiah. You, before his mother and father even came together to form him in the womb, you knew him. You said before that even happened, you had sanctified him. You set him apart for your service. And, Father, you said you ordained him to be what he became, that great prophet that we read about today. And we know, since you're not a respecter of persons, you have the same plans for us. Let us be great, Father. Let us do the thing that you knew from eternity past that we would do, and let us do it well. We want to be like Paul. We want to say, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith, meaning I did the best I could to live according to your word. I ordered my personal, my family, my church, and civic life. I brought it all under your comprehensive will. And when I messed it all up, I asked you to forgive me because you had taught me what is right. And when I was doing wrong, I knew it was wrong. And I knew I owed you a confession. And I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. Lord, we cannot thank you enough that you thought of us before we knew us, thought of us before anybody knew us. And you purposed us to be who we are today. And we're not all that we're going to be. Because it says in 1 John chapter 3, it does not yet appear to us what we shall be, but we know when Christ appears, we'll be just like him. As it is in Colossians, says the same thing, that our goal is in Ephesians. It says the same thing, is to be like him. And because, Father, you have purposed that to happen, we know, Heavenly Father, that it will happen. We thank you for being our Lord, God, and Father. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit and refilling us every single time we need to do something for you so that we have the power to be the people who say, help us, Father, to understand what that means. You said, let there be light, and you have made us your children. Jesus, it was you who said, if we say. Help us, Lord, to be understand what that means. Help us to become the people that say. Help us to know that power, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It all belongs to you. Lord, I lift up to you now everybody at Runner for Christ. And I thank you, Father, that COVID-19 have not had its way with us. And those who did get infected, you healed and then got them vaccinated. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, that since Runner for Christ has been in existence, we have not had very many homegoings. And we have not even had to go to the hospital too many times. And when those go who do have to go to the hospital, you see to it that they get home before I can even get there to visit them. So I know, Jesus, you're going to take care of them because they're your end-time saints. And I thank you for each and every one of them. Jesus, you know that I don't harbor any kind of funny feelings about any one of your sheep. They're yours. And I remember that. I'm going to always remember that. So I pray for every one of them. I'm excited to see what you're doing with them. And you're doing some awesome work with them. Every one of them, every one of them, Jesus, I don't even want to begin to name what they're doing, but I watch every one and you know that I do. And I look to see what you're doing with them, and you're doing some awesome stuff in the church and outside the church. They actually take you with them into their life when they leave the church. And I know the devil don't like them. So I pray what you prayed over there in John chapter 17. Lord, protect them from the evil one. And Jesus, let them be like Elijah. Let them be powerful in your work and in your word. And let them not be fearful like Elijah. Not the threats of the devil scare them and make them start acting fearful and afraid. Let them be like Paul and Silas. Even though they sit in the Philippian jail and don't know if they're getting ready to die, what they decide to do is with their last words is sing praises to you. If we're going to die, we're going out praising. Help us, Lord, to get there because we cannot get there without you. So bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, not just Runner for Christ, but all us who claim the name of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And Father, on a personal note, let those folks up there in Washington who claim your name, really claim your name. Don't let them be fake and phony and up there involved in all kinds of evil and not being no kind of light to show the way that's right, to show the way of the Lord. Help them, Father, to stand up like Daniel and the Hebrew boys and let them guide the government rather than the government guiding them. And Father, speak to those evangelical right folks and those Southern Baptist folks who seem to think you want something to do with this world's stupid politics. Jesus, help them to understand what all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Help them to understand that we're supposed to be affecting God's kingdom on earth and not this crap they call government. Lord, there are governments all over the earth. And we are so silly as to believe that you would just be involved with this one and not any other government on earth. Lord, are you not the Lord of heaven and earth? Do they not know that? Do they not understand that you did not need Pharaoh to do anything? You didn't need the Romans, the Greeks, the Medo-Persians, or the Babylonians. You used them. They didn't use you. You sent Daniel down there, and he ran Babylon and part of Medo-Persia. And then you sent people like cupbearers, Nehemiah, little girls like Esther, and cousins like Mordecai. So speak to Jesus, those in your body that claim to be in your body, that call themselves your servants. Help them, Lord, to be a servant and to do righteousness. And not political ideology righteousness, but your word righteousness. Daniel did not adopt the ideology of the Babylonians. He did learn all their ways. But he stood on your word, even on pain of death. And they're so scared to not be reelected. You act like they was going to die if they get out of office. Lord, help them encourage them, strengthen them to stand up and show them how a true and living, how a son of or a daughter of a true and living God acts. In your name, Jesus, we confidently ask all of this because you all, just like you said when you was at Lazarus' tomb, you said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. So, Jesus, you said when we pray, use your name. Over in John 14, you said, anything we ask the Father in your name, anything we ask you in your name, you'll do it. And we know this is according to your will because all we're asking is righteousness. And so we know you'll do it. And so we say thank you. Lord, one last thing. I thank you that you have called so far the Taliban not to be the Taliban, but help them to become favorably disposed to do the things that need to be done. And I know, Lord, that when we leave there, like Paul said, when he leaves, ravenous wolves will creep in. But there's nothing we can do about that. Those people have to want a country different than what the Taliban offers. And we can't force that on them. And help America to understand that we are not the police or nation builders of the earth. We can want and pray for them to be democratic like us. But there's nothing we can do if they choose to not be that way. You can't want for others what others don't want for themselves. So in your name, Jesus, we pray about that situation and we lift it up to you. And so we ain't even worried about it because we know you, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In your name, we say thank you for everything. Thank you for listening to us. Hear now all the prayers, Jesus. Know the concerns, and I know that you do. But let them cast them cares on you, because ultimately, you're the only one who can care for us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Standing on the word of God, and there is power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for praying and making our request known to God. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. All right. I am having a great time this morning. What a beautiful service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this selection is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
My name. life is what you gave to me. Sometimes turning my back from you, but your love still remains faithful and true.
Thank you, Lord, for this brand new day. Thank you for this opportunity to come before you with open hearts and minds and spirits that need to be filled. We thank you for all the opportunities, all the blessings, all the needs and wants that have been met. You've been so loyal and so consistent. We say thank you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for the praise and worship that you received from us. And we thank you for this platform. We thank you for Running for Christ, for Pastor O and Sheila, Lord, for their obedience and moving forward to expand your kingdom. Help us to look to their leadership as we continue to do so and expand your kingdom. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. The word that the Lord bless this morning for us comes from John chapter 16, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, verses 27 through 33. And full transparency, I forgot that I was supposed to preach this morning, and then the Lord had me look at my email, and then right after that, he sent me to this passage, and I'm thankful for the Lord working with the brother that can be forgetful and trying to roll over and get some extra sleep. And I rested well, but, you know, I had to keep it real with my brothers and sisters because I was bold. But I'm thankful for the Lord with working with me because he knows I'm a work in progress just like the rest of y'all, so don't judge me. So John chapter 16, verses 26 reading. Then you will ask in my name, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God. Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father. Then his disciples said, "At last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything, and there is no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus asked, "Do you finally believe? But the time is coming indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. Let's look back at verse 27. Actually, let's look at 26. "Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God." Right here, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And he's not, you know, beating around the bush with them. And Jesus was very direct, but he had to speak figuratively so that they could get it. But by this point, he had no need to do so because he needed to give them the raw message that, hey, I'm leaving and these are some of the things that are going to happen. So in 26, it says, "Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God." He's letting the disciples know that they will have their own connection with God the Father through the Holy Spirit once Jesus leaves. And that's something that we need to understand as God's children, as humans on this planet, is that we can approach the Father directly because of what Jesus did. We don't, you know, I hear often, you know, people say, especially if they know you're a preacher, you know, "Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me." And sometimes I remind folks that, you know, when Jesus was in the garden getting ready to face crucifixion, that he prayed for himself. And we have a direct line with the Father, so we can approach the Father because of us being God's children by way of Jesus. The Father himself loves you dearly because you love Jesus and believe that Jesus came from God. We need to also understand that the Trinity is three in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's funny how people, you know, I was just discussing this. It's funny how people always say, you know, "What, you know, I caught the Holy Ghost. I caught the Holy Ghost." And, you know, I always ask, well, you know, sometimes, well, how fast was he if you caught him, you know? If the Holy Spirit is inside of you, once you got saved, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, moved inside of you and set up shop in residence and is not going anywhere. So regardless of what you do or what you say, how you live your life, God, the Holy Spirit, once you're saved, is a resident inside of you, and you're in him. So we need to understand that we have a direct line to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did. You know, I wish that us as the church would get away from, you know, traditions and trying to avoid direct communication from the Bible. You know, that's why we always say at the end of this broadcast or throughout the broadcast sometimes that you have to get into a good Bible-based church. Without being into a good Bible-based church or being a Bible-based believer, you're going to constantly be confused. You're going to, you know, be easily influenced by lies and nonsense and foolishness. So here, this is powerful because Jesus said this. He said we can approach the Father and that the Father himself loves us dearly because we love Jesus and believe that he came from God. So we have to understand our position as truly God's children. When my sons need to communicate with me, they don't have to go to a middleman. They don't have to go to a mediator. They can text me or call me directly and say, hey, Dad, I need X, Y, and Z, or can I do X, Y, and Z? And we're the same as God's children. We can approach him and talk to him. You know, I used to think that God, the Father, wasn't concerned with the small, minute things in my life. And I had to learn that through reading his word and through growing in my relationship with the Lord that he is concerned with every aspect of my life. Why would somebody who made you and knows the exact number of hairs on your head and knows exactly how many times you blink, your lungs expand, or your heart beats, why would he not be concerned with each and every aspect of you? He is. Amen. Verse 28 says, yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father. Again, Jesus here is letting his disciples know, hey, look, I came from the Father into the world. I did what I was supposed to do, but now I'm leaving the world to go back home. And I wish that we could grasp that for ourselves. You know, we really believe that the things of this world are eternal. We hang on to stuff. We hang on to people. You know, I remember when my mother passed away, a good friend of mine told me that, hey, she had been away from home, from the Lord on earth for 54 years. He wanted her to come back home. You know, and I was able to not be in my feelings and receive that because I understood that at that time that, you know what, you're right. And we're just sojourners. We're visitors. We're just traveling on this journey, passing by. But like Pastor mentioned, as good soldiers, we have to execute our mission. Our mission is to go into the uttermost parts of the world and spread the gospel, the good news that Jesus was born, he lived, he died, and he rose to pay for our sins and to expand God's kingdom in this earth. Because guess what? Just like Jesus, we all came from the Father. We started in heaven as spirits. We came to our mother's wombs, and we were born. And now we're here to do our mission and to execute it, not just talk about it, but to be about it, because we are going to return to our home with the Father in heaven. So we need to get right and get right now and to be live purpose-driven lives, spirit-led lives. Because we will do the same thing that Jesus did. We will leave and go back to the Father. Jesus had a purpose and he had a mission and he came and he executed and he left. It's the same thing that happens to us. Regardless of if a baby came in for 6 months and went on back to the Father, that baby did what they were supposed to do. They accomplished their mission. So we need to understand that as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of the Most High. Amen? Amen. Verse 29 says, then his disciples said, at last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. You know, I know Jesus had to have a lot of patience with them, because there were a few times he would, you know, call them out and be like, are you that dull, or you not that smart? Like, y'all been with me this whole time and y'all seen all these miracles, y'all seen all these things and heard all these words and seen me feed 20,000 to 15,000 people with, you know, fish sandwiches. You know, that's what I, you know, bread and fish is, fish sandwich. And you still don't believe what I say. So now they say, oh, now he's speaking plainly and not figuratively. Well, the Lord had to speak figuratively because, think about this. Father God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, they have no limits whatsoever. That means an intelligence, too, because they know everything. But to communicate to people who are limited in their intelligence, who are limited by time in their bodies, and who are limited by not knowing everything, then you have to speak their language. You have to paint the picture. That's why Jesus spoke figuratively in parables, which are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. So he had to paint the picture figuratively so that they could get what he was saying and understand in part where he was coming from. But because he was on his way out and they had been with them a while, he could speak plainly to them. You know, and it's just like the Bible mentions about when you're babies, you know, you drink milk. But as you get older, you have to take the food as you grow. And that's the same for us, because it's talking about us growing spiritually. So us as, you know, I've been saved since I was 10. So coming up in October, I'm 34 years. I should be able at this point in my life to eat meat and food and digest it and process it versus being a baby in Christ drinking formula. So you picture a 34-year-old man that's still drinking Similac. We have to grow up in the Word, and we have to understand that what the Word says about everything is true. So we have to move forward. We have to grow up. And we have to understand that the Lord is going to speak plainly to you after a while. He's not going to put a candy coat on it for you, especially as you continue to grow closer and closer in your relationship with him. He's very direct with me, and I appreciate it. Patient with me, but very direct. Amen. Amen. Verse 30 says, now we understand that you know everything and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. Again, Jesus understood that they were limited in their intelligence. He understood that they were limited, period, because Jesus wasn't. Even being in the confines of a human body, Jesus was still God's son. He still knew what he knew. He still could do what he could do because of the power that he was given from the Father. So Jesus understood where they were coming from because he knew. So in verse 31, when it says, Jesus asked, do you finally believe? You know, he knew the answer to that question. He knew that, you know, are y'all really getting it now? Do you? You know, because he knew they were limited. And then verse 32, it says, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. I am not alone because the Father is with me. So Jesus knew that he was going to be arrested and taken into custody. Jesus knew that, you know, what was coming to him. And I find that amazing that Jesus knew the whole time he was walking this earth, even as a child, what he was going to face for us. And he still walked his mission out and executed every part of it, knowing full well that the worst death known to man, period, was coming to him physically and mentally and spiritually and everything, separation from the Father. He understood all of that because he loved us so much, because he had stepped up to the plate as our big brother and said, I'll go to the cross in their place. Don't you think for one moment that you, yourself, take it personal, don't deserve to be crucified for your sins, past, present, and future. Because you do. I do. But my big brother stepped up in place and said, I'll take the punishment. Like Uncle Tony always says, I'll be the scapegoat. He became the scapegoat for me. I take it personal. But he knew that that time was coming. So that's why he said, indeed, it's here now. When you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Y'all going to take off. Y'all going to do your own thing out of fear. And I know this because, again, Jesus understood their limitations. He knew what they were going to do. But he bravely let them know, I'm not alone because the Father is with me. And we need to take that and digest that into our own lives and understand no matter what we're going through, no matter what the economy looks like, no matter what virus is mutating, no matter what's going on in Afghanistan, no matter what's going on in Washington, D.C., Florida, Texas, or in the metro area of Detroit, that the Father is with you. Jesus, your elder brother, is going to bat for you, interceding for you. And God's very presence and the Holy Spirit is inside of you. No, never alone are we. We're covered. We're protected. We're assured. We're insured because of the presence and the provision of our Father, our elder brother, and our counselor. So no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, we're good. And we have to understand that. You know, we really have to grasp that inside of us is the Holy Spirit for those who are saved, living, not limited, but taking up residence with all power and might inside of you. I tell my sons, and I've been telling them since they were young, all the greatness that you needed in your life, God gave it to you. You just have to tap into it. My sons are saved, so they have God's very presence inside of them. So they're already awesome. They're already great. They're already set apart. You just have to tap into it. You know, it's not my fault that you have $1 million in the bank and don't have a debit card or a PIN number because you haven't accessed what you already have. Jesus understood that. So he knew, regardless of me facing the worst punishment ever, I'm not alone because my Father is with me. I'm going to execute my mission no matter what, even in death. See, we talk about it. Jesus was about that life. And we need to be about that life because let's be real. We have it better than Jesus had it on earth. Jesus didn't have central air. Jesus didn't have cars. Jesus didn't have the technology that we have, and he still executed his mission no matter what and went through a lot, constantly being ridiculed, constantly facing death threats. We don't have that. That's not our life. But why can't we execute our mission and just tell somebody about what Jesus did for them? Why can't we pray for folks that get on our last nerve or that we so-called don't like? Just think about that. Verse 33 says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. If you don't have any reason in your mind or your heart to share this word with folks, three alone should be enough for you to share with someone to encourage them and to let them know, hey, Jesus paid it all for you. And he didn't keep it a secret. He told them, I told you all this so that you can have peace in me. He knew what they were going to face in the world. And most of the disciples, if you do some research, you know, I have, some of them died extremely horrible or violent deaths simply because of who they were associated with and what they were doing as far as sharing God's word. So ultimately, they did become about that life. They did say, hey, I'll die for what I believe. I'll die for this word in the physical death, but I know spiritually I'll spend eternity with my father and my elder brother and my counselor. So you have to understand that Jesus executed his mission. You have to understand that people like the 12 did the same thing. They faced death, but they executed their mission. People like Paul, John the Baptist, they executed their mission facing death. But it's only in the physical. Spiritually, they have the rewards of executing their mission. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Listen, this world is not in sync with the word of God. It's not in sync with the way the Lord wants things to be. So we need to understand that. But because we're plugged in, because we're in sync with this word, guess what? We have a job to do to help the world, to shed light in darkness. None of this will make sense if you're not saved. First of 1987. I will freely share that. And the reality was, is as a 10-year-old, my pastor, Dr. Pelham Love, explained the realities of what you face in eternal death called hell. And it frightened me. And I didn't want to spend eternity in hell. And the truth of the matter is like the Father, I don't want anyone to perish eternally. We're all going to leave here some form or fashion, whether it's by way of the rapture or by way of the cemetery. But we're going to leave here. You want to have a eternal life destination, which is heaven, glory. But if you're not saved, then you have a place that's waiting for you. It's not open yet, but it will be, and it's not going to be pleasant. You know, we complain about the heat, you know, outside is high 80s, low 90s. Hell, can't even measure the heat. Super duper duper hot. Super duper uncomfortable and painful. But you don't have to live that eternally. You can simply just say, hey, first and foremost, just believe that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose for you to pay for all your sins. He did. You don't have to believe me. You can do research in a history book to know that Jesus walked the earth. But if you believe that Jesus died and he rose to pay for all your sins, that's the first part. You're halfway there. The second part is just confessing and then inviting him into your heart and life. So if you believe that Jesus lived and he died and he rose for you to pay for all your sins, if you believe that in your heart of hearts, all you have to do is repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am an admitted sinner. I was born into sin, and I live in sin. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the grave to pay for all of my sins, past, present, future. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I could live eternally with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you believed and you prayed that prayer, you're saved. Now you just want to get to a good Bible-based church. If you live in the Detroit metro area, I personally extend an invitation to you because we are physically open. And even if you don't physically come, we're still on Blog Talk Radio live. Amen? Let us pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Elder Brother Jesus, for what you've done for us and what you continue to do. And thank you, Father, for never leaving our Elder Brother or us alone. And we also thank you, Holy Spirit, for setting up residence inside of us for those who are saved as God's children who've been set apart. But help us, no matter what we face, to realize that we're not alone, we're covered, but we need to execute our mission. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to turn you over to Crystal. I'm going to turn it over to Crystal real quick. Amen. But thanks for preaching my message for tomorrow. Now I know exactly which way to go. You know, thank you, Jesus. You just had to tell Jonathan everything, huh? So anyway, I'm like, it must be Build 'Em Up Weekend because I thought I had a little secret. And I'm like, Jesus, really, really, those verses out of that whole chapter, those verses. He said, well, I'm just trying to set it up for you. But anyway, Crystal, go ahead, because, you know, hey, man, I ought to just play it tomorrow. That's what I'm
right. Repeat.
Jesus can't keep no secret. I thought we had a secret.
It's going to come out totally different for you tomorrow, Pastor. It's going to be the same thing, but it's going to come out totally different. So what people needed to get from Jonathan today, they got, and what people need to get from you tomorrow, they're going to get. So we got the same message preached two totally different ways. So it's okay. Your message is still a secret. Nobody
Thank
knows
you.
What
I
you're
feel good
say
now.
Or what
I,
you're going to do. Do you feel gooder now? There we go.
I'm gooder now.
Amen. Very good. Well, I just want to say, Pastor Jonathan, your message was amazing. It's funny that you were talking about that because yesterday, like, my son has been through the Bible multiple times. I tell him you read it from cover to cover, and when you get to the last page, you start at the beginning again. And so yesterday he mentioned to me that he was back in Matthew, and he was reading about Jesus, you know, preparing to go to the cross, and he was like, mine's pretty cool. And I had to think about it for a minute. And I'm like, you know, that's teenage terminology or whatever. But, you know, we expounded on the fact that it was cool that Jesus was going to the cross for us and that he was willing to go to the cross for us. And the fact that he did that for us means that if we believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, that the greatest thing that anybody could ever do for you has already been done. So to listen to your message this morning and to talk about how, you know, God loved us so much that he sent his son, you know, to die for us, and that Jesus did it for us, and he didn't turn away when he had the opportunity to do so, that he still went to the cross on our behalf but rose on the third day for us. It just really solidifies the fact that the greatest and the best gift ever has already been given to us. So we thank you for the word that you preached to us, even though you were trying to get some extra sleep, but it's okay. You woke up, and what we needed to hear was heard. So we thank you so much for what you brought to us today. And so after announcements, I'm not sure if Pastor's going to come back with you, but we know Pastor's going to come back and bring us some closing words. So again, we say thank you. So happy Saturday, y'all, everybody. Of course, you're listening to our Saturday morning worship service here on Blog Talk Radio, and we welcome all of our new and our old listeners who tuned in this morning to our worship service. We have been truly blessed. And we always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour, which today was Pastor Jonathan Tate. He brought us the word. He brought us an amazing word, and we know that he's always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. Well, he wasn't this morning, but Jesus worked that thing out anyway. So we still got a great word. And so, again, we thank you for your faithfulness and your consistency and your obedience to preach the word to us today. And we pray that all who listen were blessed in some way by what you heard today, not only from the start of our awesome Saturday church school, if we're going to call it Saturday church school, if we're going to call it church school, whatever we're going to call it, from Dr. Deaconess June Rogers all the way up until this point, service has been awesome. And so we do pray that everyone who has listened in this morning up until this point has been blessed by what they've heard. Amen. Running for Christ Ministries is located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple of reminders that our Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Charles Mackey is teaching Esther, chapters 1 through 5. The questions have been emailed, and they are online for you to ask, on our church website. And for those who will be in attendance in our Sunday service tomorrow, they will be on the back table. And if you go to Run for Christ Ministries, you know the back table is where it's at. All types of awesome stuff back there on that back table. So if you're in Sunday service, you can most definitely grab your questions off the back table. But if you still want to go and print them off or get them, you know, online, you can always go to rfcm.org. Of course, that's our church website. And under Bible classes, you will find them there for Esther chapters 1 through 5. Amen. Every Tuesday, as a reminder, at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching in his series Training Day. Set yourself a reminder to tune in at 4 p.m. every Tuesday. And also, as you guys know, we are back in person, in church, with each other, praising, worshiping the Lord. So tomorrow, Sunday, August the 22nd already. Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow, August 22nd, we will be having our Sunday worship service beginning in person at 10 a.m. And we are also live, as Pastor Jonathan Tate said, on Blog Talk Radio. If you're unable to attend in person, you can still get what we're getting right as we're getting it. Amen. We're asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. If you don't have one, that's no problem, because on that back table where all the goods are, there are masks in a basket, so one will be provided for you so that everyone can remain safe in the service, especially with the different mutations of this COVID virus and Delta and all this other stuff going on. And we've got seniors, you know, in our congregation, and we've got children in our congregation who, you know, are unable to be vaccinated at this point. So we do appreciate your cooperation during these still trying times of the pandemic. And so, again, service begins at 10 a.m. Our praise team will lead us in song and worship. And Pastor O is bringing the word to us. He thought we revealed his secret, but we kind of did, but we kind of didn't. But it's okay, because Pastor, like I said, is going to say something totally different than what we got from Jonathan this morning. So Pastor is going to be bringing us the word. And so, again, we're so thankful to God for allowing us to return in person to be able to see one another and fellowship and worship with one another. Amen? Amen. So the fourth Wednesday of every month, until the month of November, from 10 a.m. to about 1:30 in the afternoon, First Fruit Living Ministries with Minister Shelley and Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of Running for Christ Ministries, right there at that bus stop, praying with people, praying for people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches. There's a bus stop right in front of the building. So if you're able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday, which this month falls on August the 25th, so is that? That's this Wednesday. Yes, this Wednesday, August the 25th. So if you're able to make it out at 10 a.m., starting with setup and everything, please do. Pastor has mentioned multiple times that even in the midst of everything, you know, giving out lunches and giving out Bibles, and, you know, everybody likes free stuff. But he said the thing that the people ask for the most is prayer. So, you know, he says it's an awesome, I unfortunately have not been able to attend because of my work schedule, but, you know, we get to see pictures and we get updates and we, you know, see what's going on and we hear, you know, pastors saying what's going on and how wonderful it is. So if you are able to make it out on this Wednesday, beginning at 10 a.m. for setup till about 1:30 p.m., you are more than welcome to do so. The more the merrier. Amen? Amen. Also, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her own show, Back to the Family. Amen. And Back to the Family discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today and explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. So you can find her call-in number on our church website, which is rsvm.org, under Christian Resources. Make sure that you're not calling our number services that we have here on Blog Talk Radio. It is a different number. It is listed under our Christian Resources tab on our website, rfcm.org. There's also a link there if you would like to click that to listen. So again, set yourself a reminder for every Sunday at 4 p.m. with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn and Back to the Family. Amen. Amen. Also, we have a new class announcement, and it's entitled Get a Grip, Mental Health and Christianity, Keeping It Together When Things Go Wrong. So have you ever felt like you were losing your mind? I think everybody has felt that way at some point in time. Such thoughts are natural given the temptations that we face, especially during times of loss. But God has equipped you with supernatural weapons to battle for your grip on sanity. So join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. starting on September the 13th as we delve into what the Bible tells us about mental health. Each week, a new topic on the crises people encounter, such as illness, death of a loved one, or betrayal, will be introduced. Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, your teacher, will guide you through how people in the Bible and those living through our times have faced mental challenges. More importantly, you will come to understand how to prevail in these spiritual battles. So let's study together in this interactive course. And if anybody knows Dr. June Rogers, how she teaches, it's amazing because she doesn't just talk to us or teach to us or read to us. She is very interactive. She is all about the crowd. So we are going to study together in this interactive course that shows you how to get a grip. Remember, God's promises, according to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that minds and hearts focusing on and trusting in the Lord can and will enjoy perfect peace. So again, set yourself a reminder right now to join us on Monday, September 13th at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio so we can all learn how to get a grip. Amen. Also, as a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, but most of all, they are free. Just visit our church website, again, ifcm.org, and click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll have access to all of our classes and services 24/7, 365, again, for free. You can download them and easily share them with others. Amen. Also, if you would like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay your tithes or give anything additional towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. You'll find all the info you need there. Also, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Pastor Jonathan Tate, rfcm.org is the place to be under tithes and offerings. You can give your love offering there. Just notate who it's for, and it will be passed on to the preacher accordingly. Amen? Amen. So we're going to ask ourselves the question, why do we pray? So number one, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants relationship and not religion. Number two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. God is not unaware of what goes on with us, and we know that he is all-knowing and nothing catches him by surprise. But he is not going to kick your door down and say, you will accept me. God is a gentleman, and he wants to be invited into our lives and into our circumstances. He will not force himself in, but he will stand at the door and knock and politely wait for you to let him in. Amen? Number three, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. It is not a one-way conversation. You have to speak, but you also have to be willing to listen. Number four, God wants your heart. So when you speak, he needs you to speak from your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Now, we know that's good things and bad things. And then Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And the Lord wants to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives. So you can trust God with your heart. He can handle it. He knows it anyway. A lot of times he's just waiting for us to confess and say whatever it is. So he's like, okay, I was waiting on you to tell me that. So now this is what we're going to do. So he can handle it. Give it to him. He can work it all out. Okay? So you can never be too far from the forgiveness, the grace, and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Just give him your heart. Amen? And number five, lastly, we pray to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Prayer is our weapon against the attacks of the enemy, and we have been given authority over him. So when he starts attacking and, you know, he come doing whatever he do because he don't have nothing better to do with his life, but he is the one man who is always on his job. Use the power of prayer to fight. Like Pastor said earlier, do not let the devil scare you into being fearful about things. We don't have a spirit of fear. But remember, all of these things pertain to you if you belong to Jesus. You don't get all these extra perks and all these benefits if you don't belong to Jesus. Okay, so we use the word of God to fight off the enemy, because the word of God is the only thing that he responds to. Don't think that the devil is not going to try to do what he needs to do. He is fully aware of who Jesus Christ is, and yet when Jesus was in the wilderness, he came at Jesus three separate times, and Jesus slapped him to death with the word three separate times, and he went on about his business. But the point is that he came at the Lord knowing who he was, so don't think that he's not going to come at you. Okay, so why do we pray? Because we have the power and authority to do so, and because it's essential to being victorious in every area of our life. Just like Dr. Tony Evans says, when you pray, you bring heaven down to earth in our own space and in our own time. So prayer is essential. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this. Say, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He'll never leave you and he will never forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. We must seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. So if you're a hand, be a hand. If you're a foot, be a foot. If you're an eye, an ear, a nose, whatever, you have a purpose, and we all function as one in the body of Christ. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. We ask your prayers, as always, for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated, you know, those who receive bad health reports, bad or discouraging news from their friends and loved ones. You know, pray for those personally that you know, but of course, you most definitely need to pray for those who you don't know. Also, keep lifted up in prayer yourself. You know, you got to pray for yourself, our children, our nation, our world, our leaders, you know, as they continue to just do what they do. I'm not really into politics and into government. I've learned a lot from Pastor O. He says a lot, and I listen intently, but it's still just so much, and they make it so complicated, and it doesn't have to be hard to just serve God. So just keep them lifted up in prayer because they're constantly making decisions, and, you know, anyway, so just continue to pray. Also pray for those who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked, those who are being abused. Of course, you want to make sure to keep in prayer all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, and there's so, so much more. The list of what needs to be prayed for is endless. So if you don't know where to start, you don't know what to do, just ask God to show you the things that he wants you to focus on in prayer and start from there. Amen? Amen. So special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries. Praise God, they are still on the move. Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Keep our sister, Keela Freeman. I know last week on my announcement, she was in the hospital. I'm not sure if she's still there or not, but nevertheless, she was, and so we know that she still needs prayer. Also, keep Pastor John Mack in your prayers, Tyrone Hamilton, and give Mother Cheryl an extra dollop of prayer, amen, because those two are joined, and they are one. Keep in prayer the kids who have already gone back to school, because depending on where you live, some kids have already started. Here we start later into the month of September. So, you know, as well as the teachers and parents, you know, they're preparing for school challenges, what this year is going to be like, how they're going to function, just a lot of things going on, a lot of choices that have to be made for the safety of everyone. Also, again, we need to, you know, pray for all the nurses and doctors and those in the medical field, you know, as they face the challenges that are reoccurring as the different Delta variants and things like that are on the rise. You know, hospitals are filling up again and things like that. So just so, so much to pray for. So many people who need to be prayed for. So let us not forget those as well. Amen. And we must pray, excuse me, for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, those who the devil has convinced that God is not who he is, all right? Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. There we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, today your household, and the people you meet in your, you know, under your roof of your home, Judea, your community, you know, those people, the banks and the grocery stores and everything that you go to that's right in, you know, where you're at, Samaria, that's outside of your comfort zone, you know, you go to a little different grocery store, someplace where you normally don't really go or people you don't normally associate with, and to the ends of the earth." And these are people and places you like, "I ain't never going around them, I don't need nothing from over there, I'm not fooling with them." Well, they need the word of God as well, and it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Pastor last week preached on being a good soldier for Christ, because the minute you open your eyes in the morning, you know, once you thank God for that, you on the battlefield. And so he told us that we were going to be tested. He told us that we were going to be, you know, it was going to be made clear that we were on the battlefield for the Lord, and the things that we go through are to make us good soldiers. It was an awesome, awesome sermon. And if you didn't hear it, most definitely you can go back to our Blog Talk Radio show and hear the sermon that was preached, because as we were getting it live, Blog Talk Radio was getting it live as well. It was an awesome, awesome sermon. Matthew chapter 20:41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels and not people, but we know that unfortunately some are going to end up there in eternal torment. Pastor Jonathan talked about that today, like, you know, I think DMX had an album cover that was called "It's Dark and Hell is Hot." Yeah, we're not even prepared for the heat and the torment that comes from that. Like you said, it's not open yet, but it's there. And people are standing in line trying to get in that place, and it's not for them. You know, this life is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. And as Pastor Johnson always says, time ain't long, saints. Okay, so we don't have a lot of time. And Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So please don't force your way into a place that was not created for you. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. And we all know that that I is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushing spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21, 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All these things are gone away forever. So when you're sad, heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see here and read about all over the world on a daily basis, use the word of God to give you strength and encouragement. Those are only a few scriptures out of all 66 books that can lift you up and give you peace. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved, and hurting in your thoughts and prayers, and we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Amen. Let your light shine, okay? Let your light shine. You are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, again, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We already know blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. Yeah, those things are great, but a kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or who are celebrating today. You know we send special love and birthday wishes out to our Run for Christ Ministries family. So happy birthday to Deaconess Danielle Mackey, who's celebrating on the 17th. My mom, Mother Louisa, who's celebrating on the 19th. Robin will be celebrating on the 24th. And little Tyrone Payne will be celebrating on the 25th. So happy, happy birthday to everyone. Amen. Amen. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you will be there to lead me. You will be there to help me. And that's Psalm 139, verse 9 in the Good News Translation. So your devotional for today, you can talk to God about anything. You are never, ever alone, because God is in every dimension at the same time. God is in the past. He's in the present. He's in the future. He's in heaven, and he's on earth. He's in the spirit world. He's in our world. He's in you. He's above you. He's around you, because he is multidimensional. There is not a bunch of gods to cover every dimension. There is one God in the person of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because he is multidimensional, you are never alone. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you will be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you will be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you will be there to lead me. You will be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, but even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. And that's Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Don't try to play hide and seek with God. Every place you try to hide, he's already there. This is God's omnipresence. He's everywhere. He's in all things. He is the beginning and the end. There is no place you've been, no place you are, and no place you are going that God was not, is not, or will not be. That should encourage you today. No matter where you choose to go, God will walk with you, and he will already be there to meet you. Because God is in every dimension of the world, and even the dimensions we don't know about, you can talk to him about every dimension of your life. He already understands. There is nothing you could bring to him from your past, present, or future that he is not already in complete control of. Your prayers will never catch God off guard. You can bring them all to him. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen. So now you're going to preach my sermon, huh? So you just sermoned all the way. You and Jonathan, yeah.
You
sermon, Robert,
secrets.
Both of y'all.
It's still a secret. It's still a secret.
Right?
Both
of y'all. Sermon, Robert. Sermon, Robert. Both of y'all. You're going to have the scarlet R on you. The SR. People going to be like, what is that? Sermon, Robert. Close to you. Preach your sermon. Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Amen. All right, brother, since y'all done preached, I don't even have to study now, so, you know, I'm good. I'm too through with Jesus. You go fire Crystal up and both of y'all. Just, you know, Lord have mercy. But anyway, hey, the Lord's will be done, right?
Yes,
you got yours at the last minute.
Yeah. Very nice.
Lord have mercy. You just had me working on mine since last Sunday. You get yours this morning. I got to go through a whole week. But, hey, but you know what? It's wonderful to know that Run for Christ Ministries is on the same page. And that's what's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you and I have talked about it before, how it seems like, you know, we talk about the same things, but you know, he's going to always put a different spin on it, you know, no matter what, because you know how we read the word and interpret it 99 different ways. So it's going to be the same with your word, you know, Lord willing, but tomorrow, you know. So, and then
I'm using everything you and Crystal
like
said. I ain't going to even try to think.
I knew it.
Jesus, continuing in that same vein.
Yeah, that'll work. Right. But as always, Pastor O, thanks for the opportunity. You know, if you want to try to preach every day, all day, you would definitely pass it on. So I'm thankful. But
thank you.
You're welcome. Let us execute our mission just as Jesus did. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brothers. Tell them boys I said, what's up?
Will do. When I catch up with them, they be on the run.
All right, take care, Pastor. Stay blessed.
All right. You too.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who's tuned in today. And I'm still working on where I want to live and where I want to work and who I want to tell me that. Just want to let you know Crystal Keeler is at home, prayer work. And on Wednesday, September 22nd is when we'll be back for the food giveaway. Minister Shelley always takes August off. My bad, Crystal. I didn't let you know that. But we will be back there Wednesday, September 22nd. Giving away Bibles, giving away free lunches, and giving out prayer, rededicating people to Christ, and leading people to Christ. That always happens. So we thank God for each and every one of you who have tuned in. And on tomorrow, Lord willing, I wake up and everything the same. I'll be preaching. Don't worry. Jesus got you. Amen. So we'll see y'all tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Run for Christ Ministries. See you then.